Well, good evening. It's good to see each one of you here tonight. Would you stand with me, please? Let's turn to page 530 tonight to begin our service. Page 530. We'll sing the first, the third, and last verse. Joy unspeakable. So we got to smile while we sing this tonight. Amen. All right, let's sing it out on the first verse. I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free as free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. On the third verse, I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, till its waves of glory roll. It is like a great o'erflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. Amen. Great start tonight.
Boy, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. And it's joy until you get to the chorus of that song and you're trying to figure out where to get a breath at. Amen. And so I noticed some people were smiling during the regular part. Then you get to the chorus and everybody's panicking. So anyways, amen. But you made it. Amen. You're still alive. Amen. Good job. All right. Let's pray tonight. Sure glad you're here. And let's ask the Lord's blessing on our services tonight. Brother Gary Clark, would you pray for us tonight, brother? Amen. Why don't you be seated tonight, and I do have just a few announcements and things. Of course, this coming Friday, getting very excited about our youth rally and looking forward to hosting that. Of course, everything will kind of kick off at 6:30, be over there in the E.J. Watson Gymnasium. And so be much in prayer, certainly for the churches, the groups that are going to be traveling here, and then also be much in prayer for Brother Jason Jett. He will be preaching in the service. And so if you're just interested in coming to the rally itself, that everything will kick off at about 7:30 over here in the sanctuary. And so certainly want to invite our people to come. And then, of course, looking forward to having Glory Bound as well out of Heartland Baptist Bible College. And I know that will be a blessing. And they're going to be sticking around into our Sunday morning time. And so we'll have combined Sunday school classes. That'll be this Sunday, March the 19th. And so it'll be combined adult Sunday school classes as well as the teen class be all upstairs. And one of the students from Heartland be teaching Sunday school. And then Brother Jamie Jett, who is Brother Jason Jett's dad, is the sponsoring couple, bringing the group up. And so he's going to be preaching in the morning service. And then, of course, that evening, just looking forward to a regular time around the Lord and continuing on in the life of Joshua. But be much in prayer, looking forward to a great weekend of the Lord. Amen. And so thankful for that. Don't forget about some other things coming up. Of course, March the 26th, finish out the month is on a Sunday. So that Sunday night following the evening service will be a linger longer. And then Saturday, April the 1st, we will be having our church-wide outreach, and that'll be over at the in the fellowship hall or gymnasium, depending on where the safest place to meet is right now. But that'll be at 10:30 in the morning. And by the way, I would encourage you to, if you get a chance, to walk over to the fellowship hall. There has been quite a bit going on over there, and I believe you'll really like what you see. April the 2nd, if you have teens in the teen class, there is a teen activity on that Sunday. And then April the 4th, of course, that begins kind of that week of Easter. And so Tuesday night, April the 4th, church family, you need to be aware that we are going to be observing the Lord's Supper. That'll be at 7 o'clock in the evening time. If you are a member of Faith Baptist Church in good standing, which just means that you are faithfully attending the church and you're not under church discipline or anything like that, you need to be here for that. Amen. And observing the Lord's Supper. That's what it's for. And then, of course, Wednesday night, we will have our regular service. So if you come to the Lord's Supper on Tuesday, you need to come to church on Wednesday, too. Amen. And so make sure that you are there for that. And then April the 5th through the 7th is Easter break for Faith Baptist School. And April the 9th, which is on a Sunday, is our Easter cantata. And that's our Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And so for our morning services, the choir will be doing an Easter cantata. And so excited about that and excited about the resurrection of our Savior and celebrating that. It's, you know, that's I'm just it's a blessing. Amen. And thankful. I'm very thankful that the resurrection was very key to me being saved. And so I always enjoy trying to, you know, use that time to give my testimony and sure be much in prayer for people to come and hear the gospel and be saved. Amen. April the 12th through the 16th is our annual missions conference. Again, as already mentioned, going to be hosting several missionaries, a couple of families, of course, that are already with us, like the Glazemans and of course, Jack and Lizzie Parker. Then also hosting the Dice family to England and the Del Hotel family going to Santa Barbara, California to plant a church. And so our guest preacher, Brother Scott Nail, is going to be preaching. And again, there's back on the back table out there in the outer foyer, there's a gift card basket. And so if you'd like to be a blessing to these families, you certainly can. Also wanted to mention this, ladies. There's the ladies' retreat at Riverside Baptist Church in St. Joseph, Missouri, is April the 21st and 22nd. Tonight is the last night to sign up for that, and that is out there in the outer foyer. And then, of course, towards the end of the month of April, we will have April the 27th, which is on a Thursday, be the Faith Baptist School graduation and awards banquet. And then April the 28th is the Faith Baptist School 50th anniversary alumni banquet. And that'll be over in the E.J. Watson Gymnasium. Incredible. The school's been here for 50 years. Amen. And just a blessing there. All right. So those are the announcements. And I know it's a lot to kind of take in and plan for, but do try to plan for it as best you can. There is, you know, some bulletins and things out there that's got information on there to help you and stuff like that. And then, of course, if you have any questions, see somebody else. Amen. So, amen. I'm just kidding. We'll try to help you. Maybe. All right. Prayer list. All right. Let's get our prayer list out tonight. Just wanted to mention, of course, we still have mercy. We still have a lot of sickness and things like that. And by the way, it's not just our church. You know, just went to the Kansas preachers meeting and everybody was talking about kind of the sickness that has been cycling through. Amen. So we're not special. All right. But we do got quite a bit going on. And so be much in prayer for those families. I think of the Heater family as well as the Reeves family. I know Brother Parker was mentioning Miss Mary has it. And then our Luke came down with it earlier this week. Also, Miss Ginger Sexton, if you could pray for her and Brother Gene, I know that they would appreciate that. So continue to just pray for our church family. And then, of course, also continue to pray for Miss Carolyn Moore. And I haven't heard anything yet as far as the KU appointment and stuff like that with her blockage. And so if you would remember that in prayer. And then, of course, lastly, and I wanted to mention this, and I want us to pray for certainly these things tonight, but if we could just make it a special point to keep in mind to pray for the youth rally. and to pray for those traveling and certainly the guest preacher. And I know, and I've said this in times past, and many of you know this, but we have seen teenagers get saved at this rally. We have seen young men called to preach at this rally and young people surrender to full-time service and things like that. And so please be much in prayer. We need the Lord to meet with us. Absolutely. Amen. And so pray for that. Anybody have a prayer request or anything tonight as we go to the Lord in prayer? All right, Miss Kristen. Yes. Yes, Brother Will was telling us about that in men's prayer. Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty difficult situation. And so that's on the second column, almost to the bottom there. A little baby that's just been born, Will Waller, and has, and it's, is it Minsky's? Minsky's disease? Minsky's disease? Anyways, it's a pretty rare thing. And I want to say, is it copper? It's like a, yeah. Yeah, so it's a pretty rare thing, but a very difficult thing, and most of the babies don't make it past 3 years old. So very hard situation. And so if you would pray for that little baby, but also I know this, I'm sure his mom and dad would sure appreciate that as well. So, and then you said you had one more. Okay. Mm. My goodness. Okay, my goodness, and that's Brandon Givens. Okay, so let's pray for this little fella. Okay, and so let's pray for the Clark family that'll be taking him in. So, amen. All right, so let's pray for that little fella and that family. So, difficult situation there. Brother David? Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. We'll do it, brother. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay. All right. So let's pray for Brother Griffin on that and the job situation. So. Okay. Anybody else tonight? Okay, Brother Carr. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay. What was her name again? Linda Cole. And she was in the hospital for what, you said? Cancer. Okay, mercy. All right. So let's pray for her. All right, so that's Linda Cole and then Jeremy Carr for salvation. Absolutely. All right, we'll get those on the prayer list. Anybody else tonight? Okay, Miss Candy? Unspoken, all right, for Miss Candy Birchfield. So if you would pray for that. Okay, anybody else tonight? All right, got a lot of burdens tonight, amen. But God is faithful. Let's go ahead and have our men come tonight and pray for these things. And again, I know these are certainly very, very needy situations. But men, don't forget about praying for the youth rally as well. And certainly asking the Lord to bless that. So, Brother Matt Whitney, would you pray for us tonight? Amen.
If you're redeemed, say amen tonight. Thank you, ladies. Great special for the offering. Let's go ahead and stand and turn to page 321. Page 321, My Sins Are Gone. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse for our last song together tonight. Page 321.
You ask why I am happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. 'Twas at the old-time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I'm glad my sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Your sins are gone. Say amen tonight. Praise the Lord. Great singing. Please remain standing. Get your Bibles ready for the message tonight.
That's a blessing, man. I'm sure glad they're cast as far as the east is to the west, never to be remembered anymore. Amen. And blessing. Well, Ephesians in chapter number 6 tonight. The book of Ephesians in chapter number 6 tonight. And I'm going to pick up there again. Once again, we're jumping back into our study on what we would call the armor of God. And certainly the Bible calls it that as well. But this is kind of where we've been preaching through the book of Ephesians, and this is where we have come to. And so I just felt like it would be wise for us. And I realize I've kind of gone through these things in Sunday school and lessons like that. But I just think it's wise to just spend a little time here and look at every piece and to make sure that we understand what it is and that we have it on. Amen. And we have on the whole armor of God. And so that's kind of the idea here. It'd be real easy to just brush right through it and touch the surface, but there's just something about diving into it and seeing truly what it means and what it is. And so that's where we're picking up again tonight. So let's look at verse number 10, and we see kind of the introductory verse here that says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And here's how, because he says, "Put on the whole armor of God." Amen. Not just some of it, not just a piece here and there, but the whole thing. But we also begin to see why we need it on. And here's the first thing. He says that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. He is a deceiver. He is a liar. Somebody say amen tonight. All right. Now, notice verse 12. But here's the other reason. Not only do we need to stand against the wiles of the devil, but he also says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And mercy, is that ever true in our day and time? And then look at verse number 13. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And here's the other reason, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Say, preacher, when is the evil day? It was today. And it'll be tomorrow. All right? And so that's the idea here. And I'm just telling you, we see a whole lot of casualty today. We see a whole lot of casualty today. And so here's what he says. He says in verse 14, stand therefore. All right? And then he says, having your loins girt about with the truth. So we looked at this last week. That's the belt of truth. All right? And so that's, listen, it's mentioned first because it's foundational. All right? Got to have it on. All right? And it's the first piece here. It wraps around the midst. If you don't have truth, you have nothing to stand on. And now here's what I know, all right, truth has its source right here. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth, amen. Listen, the devil may be trying to obscure the truth in perversions of the Bible or foolish mindsets, all right, like truth is subjective, all right, but listen, we believe this, truth is found in the authorized King James Version of the Bible. All right, and so let's make sure we understand. Truth is not relative, it's absolute. Truth is not subjective, it is to be the authority in our lives. All right, and so that's the idea of noticing that and looking at that. But then notice the next thing here. He says this. He says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. Father, would you bless the preaching now? And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated tonight? Sure appreciate you standing in honor of God's Word. I have a friend that I went to school with. His dad worked in worked for, I believe it was, Escambia County Sheriff's Department. And he decided to follow in the footsteps of his dad and to go into law enforcement. And one of his very first jobs that he was assigned to was the courthouse there in Pensacola, Florida. And he was a bailiff there and in the courthouse. However, he wanted to be out on patrol. That was what his dad did. That was what some of the other friends that he had that were in the police department there and working for the sheriff's office. That was what they were doing. And so he wanted to do that. And so finally he was promoted to that, and he got a position on patrol. And his name is Jeremy Cassidy. And he and I went to school together. I remember we worked together for a little while, and he was crazy and really ended up being a good police officer because he knew a lot of the bad guys. Amen. And could relate to them in his early part of his life as a young adult. On his second week on the job, a call of domestic violence came in, and Jeremy and two other officers responded to the scene. As they arrived, they quickly realized that it was more than a domestic violence situation. It was a hostage situation. Jeremy and the two officers decided to go into the home to kick the door down and enter in. And Jeremy was the officer that was out in front. As they kicked into the door and entered into the home, they found that the man was holding the woman in front of him as a shield, but then in the other hand was holding a 9mm semi-automatic pistol and began to fire on the police officers. Jeremy took the brunt of the bullets, as well as the other two men were injured. The man was eventually taken down, and all three officers that were first on the scene went to the hospital with multiple wounds. The two other officers were released with minor injuries, but Jeremy ended up being in critical condition. He was induced into a coma for several weeks. He lost function of both kidneys. However, Officer Jeremy Cassidy would eventually pull through and weeks later be released from the hospital. Though he still suffers from the injuries that he sustained on that call and ended up having to retire early, he is also still alive. And the reason is because Jeremy was wearing his breastplate, what we would call a bulletproof vest. Many an officer and soldier can testify today that they are alive because of that piece of armor right there. And what I'm saying to you tonight, and please understand this, that this piece of armor is not only important for physical warfare, it is also important for spiritual warfare. Many of us know that this piece of armor, it covers the chest area tonight. It is what I would say the largest piece of armor that goes on the body. And it is incredibly vital to have it. And we realize this tonight because of the vital organs that it protects. Things like the heart, the lungs, all of those things that can be in there. All right? And so the idea is this, is that if you don't have this thing on, well, it's kind of like similar to the belt of truth. One shot and it's over. And so therefore, it's important tonight that we begin to realize what it means, what this means. What is this piece of armor? And what does it mean to have it on? And so let's dive right in tonight and look at this thing. And so certainly number one, what I would say to you tonight, what I wrote down is this, the reference to the breastplate of righteousness. And what I mean by that is this, in other words, what is this piece of armor? Okay? And I realize maybe some of us would not have too many questions about that, but there may be some that would have questions about that. And so I think it's important that we all understand what a breastplate is physically, but what is this breastplate of righteousness? What is that spiritually speaking to the armor? And I think for us to understand that, it would be this, that we would have to understand what the word righteousness means. Okay? What does righteousness mean? Well, simply put, most people will tell you this. Well, righteousness means this, doing right. That's what it means. No, I was expecting something deep, preacher. I know, but I'm not. That's what it means. All right? In fact, and this is literally the literal definition. Now watch this. It literally means this. This word right here in the Greek, it means equity of character. Now, if you're, you know, kind of a, like me, redneck maybe, I don't know. What are we in the Midwest? So this would be hillbilly. Anyways, I'm thinking equity of character. Okay, that works. What does equity mean? So then you got to look that up. All right? And so here's what equity means. It means the distribution of justice or doing that which is right. And so therefore, all right, this is the way I would tally it up. Okay? Righteousness means to have the character in your life to do that which is right or justly. Is everybody getting this? So you understand that having on this breastplate of righteousness, it means this, to have the character in your life to do that which is right or justly. That's what this is talking about. And the thought that stands out to me regarding the meaning of this breastplate of righteousness. Now watch this. It is actually this. It requires action. Righteousness, watch this, is doing right. Now stay with me here. I know you're going, well, I know that, but watch it. Therefore, to actually have on the breastplate of righteousness, that means this, that you are in the act of doing right in your life. It is obedience unto God. And so why are you going into this and continuing to kind of say basically the same thing over and over again? Because here's what I know. People can know what they're supposed to do that's right, but not do it. James 1:22 said this, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Well, watch this. Deceiving your own selves. Excuse me. Wasn't that just like wiles of the devil? Deception? What he's saying is this, is that if you're sitting here tonight and you know what is right, but you're not doing it, the reality is you are living in deception because you don't really have the armor on and you're setting yourself up for disaster and defeat because you are incredibly vulnerable to the wiles of the devil. In fact, you're playing right into his hand because he's the liar, the father of lies, and you are buying into it with your own deception right then and there because you know what is right. But yet you are not doing right. And so that's the idea here is that the breastplate of righteousness simply means this, means doing right. And to have it on means to do what the Word of God says to do. And so that's the idea here. Let me just give you some things tonight. And let's make sure that we don't have the cart before the horse. All right. Does that make sense? So, Let me just say this. I believe it would be right to say that having on the breastplate of righteousness begins with salvation. Okay? And salvation occurs. Now watch this. Salvation occurs when we hear the truth of God's Word concerning Jesus Christ. And then we take our first step in doing that which is right by receiving Him by faith. So why do you say that, preacher? Well, here's why. Because then we're clothed in His righteousness. Oh, come on. Hold your place there in Ephesians chapter 6 and go with me to Isaiah 61 in verse number 10. And let's just see this verse here and notice what it says here. Isaiah 61, 10. He says this. He says this, and listen, this is one of those, I might ought to underline this one. Look at what he says. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Well, why? For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Watch this. He hath covered me with the robe of, what's that word right there? Righteousness. Listen, I think it's, and you can keep reading, it's a precious, precious verse, and you can keep reading it, but the idea is to say this, that I think it's important to point this out, because, listen, it's within the sin nature of every man to want to, quote unquote, do something for his or her salvation. To achieve, watch this, to achieve righteousness in and of them own selves, but you and I must realize that, and by the way, you can keep reading in Isaiah and he'll tell you that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So you understand, you and I got, listen, and I'm just telling you, and I want you, and I realize, oh, well, preacher, it's Wednesday night. We already, no. We're going to preach on this anyways. Because we need to be reminded of this. Because I'm just telling you, listen, discipline is certainly an incredibly important aspect in the life of a child of God. I mean, listen, the short form of discipline is disciple. In other words, it's a person that is turning away from their flesh and the world and the desires of it and disciplining themselves to be a disciple and following Jesus Christ. But please catch this, you're not going to be able to discipline yourself into heaven. Amen. You understand? There's no baptism. All right, well, wait a minute, that's doing right. I know, but there's no baptism that's going to save you. And church membership and tithing and giving the missions and observing the Lord's Supper, and the list goes on and on of the things that God says we ought to do, but we don't do those things to obtain salvation. We do those things because we already have salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. So you understand, it begins with this, not getting the cart before the horse, but rather saying this, that if I'm going to have on the breastplate of righteousness, then it starts with having on the righteousness of Jesus Christ first and foremost in my life. Because it's only His work and His work alone that can save a person, not your works or mine. It's His work. But then, doesn't it keep going to say this? That once I have on this robe of righteousness, pretty neat when you think about it, that a lot of the Roman soldiers, they had an undergarment underneath there. And you get that robe of righteousness on, then you put that breastplate on top of it. Well, what is that? Well, that's the idea of this, is that once we've been saved and we've received the righteousness of Christ, that we continue to follow Him in obedience in our life. Because here's what I know, all right? You got to grab a hold of it. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ without first being saved. But it is possible to be saved and not be His disciple. And when you choose to live like this, friend, listen, you are making yourself very vulnerable to defeat in spiritual warfare. So in order to have victory, the idea here is this, is that you have on. Notice He says here, He says in verse 14, in having on the breastplate of righteousness. He's not talking about, well, you know, you got to have it in your room hanging up there on your little deal there. No. I know I'm being a little silly there, but you realize there are a lot of people that know what's right, but they're not doing what's right. And that's almost like just having the armor sitting over there in the corner of your room. No, he's saying have it on. So having it on means this, not only to know what's right, but then to actually do right is to begin to submit to God in our life. Why? Because He's the only one that knows how to make life work. I want us to do a little Bible study. Is that all right? I mean, after all, we are in church. Amen. I don't think there'd be anything wrong with that, but you just never know. All right, so you were there in Isaiah. Hopefully you saved your spot in Ephesians, and maybe you're already back there. But I want to just call your attention to another couple of verses here. All right, so remember this, that once you're saved, the idea of putting on the breastplate of Christ, now watch this, it is to submit our lives unto God and to do what He says to do. Is anybody getting that? I realize, you know, people get kind of particular on terminologies and things, and surrender, submit. And I get all of that. But you understand, the Bible uses the word submit quite frequently, because that's the idea of us humbling ourselves and bringing ourselves under the authority of Almighty God. Submitting to Him and what He says to do. Is everybody catching that? Now watch this. There's a reason why I point this out. Okay, so go with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, okay? And look at this verse right here. James chapter 4. Look at verse number 7. He says this. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Did you catch that? I'm telling you, it's very similar in its terminology, isn't it? That it's the idea of submitting ourselves unto God, and as we do, we are resisting the devil, and he flees from us. Well, that's spiritual victory, isn't it? That's the idea. Now go to 1 Peter, all right, in chapter number 5. And look at verses 8 and 9. Many of us know verse number 8, because it tells us about our enemy. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And that's true. But then notice what he says in verse number 9. Whom resist steadfast in the what? Faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So it's the idea of this. It's the same idea of what James said. It is to resist the devil and submit yourself unto God, to resist the devil. And submit yourself and to walk by faith. Well, faith is this. It is the Word of God and what we believe. So it's turning from those things and beginning to submit our life and to do what God said in His Word. That's putting on the breastplate. That's having it on, friend. That's what he's talking about. In order for us to have victory over the devil, we must resist the devil. And in order to resist the devil, we must submit ourselves unto God. This means to surrender to obedience to Him and His Word. Righteousness is doing right. And doing right is putting the things of God in your life. That's what it is.
In fact, you can go back to Ephesians in chapter 6 and go back there quickly. And I want to take you to something else too. Go back. So you're in Ephesians chapter 6, all right? Now just turn a page, maybe two back to chapter number 4, okay? And I want you to watch this. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse number 21. And if you're here for the studies, you remember this. Look at what he says. He says, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him." Now watch this. Watch these words. "As the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, all right, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, or which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Watch this. "Neither give place to the..." Catching this? And again, you can keep reading. I don't have time, but please catch this. It's basically this. It's the same principle in a different illustration. You catching that? What Paul's saying is, listen, put off the old man and then put on the new man. And when you do that, then you're not giving place to the devil. It's like putting armor on. And you're going on to victory. It's the same idea. He's saying that you got the belt of truth on. Now you know what truth is. You got the robe of righteousness. And now he's saying, put on the breastplate. And as you do, guess what? You're putting on the armor. And he can't hurt you. He can't hit you. That's the idea. See, if we'd have just read through Ephesians chapter 6, it said, put on the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, we'd have never got any of this stuff. Isn't this good? You just kind of camp out and just chew on this stuff. Now watch this, because here's the other thing, and I want you to think about this with me a little bit, because you see the reference here, all right, to the breastplate of righteousness. So that means this. Now we begin to understand what this means. It means to do right. It means to be in action and obedience unto God. But now watch this. Look at verse number 14 of our text, because he says this: "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the belt of truth, and then having on the breastplate of righteousness." So this is what I would say, is that there's a relationship between the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth. That's why they're put together in that verse. And now we would understand, now watch this, physically speaking, in the actual armor, they do tie together. The belt, it's kind of a big girdle, and it holds the breastplate in its place and all of that. But now watch this. Couldn't we say in the spiritual armor they go together? Truth and righteousness? Let me encourage you, if you got something like Esword or something like that, you ought to do a search on the words truth and righteousness and just see how many times they fall together in the same verses. It's incredible. In fact, here's what I wrote down. You ought to write this down. You can go back and read it later. But in Psalm 85, verses 10 and 11, some of you know this, and I know it came to my mind. It says, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." In verse number 11, so this is Psalm 85, verse 10. Verse number 11 says this: "Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven." You know why those are put together? Because they go together, friend. Listen. Listen. If righteousness is doing right, then how do you know what is right to do if you don't have truth? They have to go together. And so this is important to understand, all right? Because if having on the breastplate of righteousness, listen, catch this, it's not what you think is right. It's what God has already said is right. See, that's why it's so important that you understand. Truth is not relative, it's absolute. It's not subjective, it's authoritative. And so if you once you begin to understand that, then you begin to realize that righteousness. OK, so then you begin to realize what is right. And then putting it on means this, that you are now beginning to obey the Word of God in your life. You want to know why? Listen to me. You want to know why so many people are living in defeat in our day and time? It's because they've made the things that God has said to do in His Word that are right, they've made them debatable. Because God says things like this, "Thou shalt not forsake the assembling of thyself together as the manner of some is." So much the more as you see the day approach. And I would say to you, listen, we're in 2023. We don't need less church. We need more church. You got churches canceling their Wednesday night service and their Sunday night service. You want to know why? It's because the man of God's too stinking lazy to get in the Bible and study it and then feed it to his people. That's why. Glory, hallelujah. I don't want to, man, I want to keep going. I want to have church every night if we can. This is my third message in 2 days. I went to the preacher's meeting on Monday night and Tuesday morning, and I wasn't even scheduled to preach. John Swope texted me Tuesday morning and goes, "Hey, brother, can you call me when you get a chance?" Uh-oh. And I preached. Then I preached chapel today. Then I'm preaching tonight. Well, just, man, I might preach tomorrow. I don't know. I'll find somebody. What I'm saying, though, friend, is this. Listen, we need more church. Well, you know, preacher, that's right. You know, that's for you. No, it's not. It's for everybody. It's the child of God. It's, friend, it's what He said to do in His Word. It's not up for debate. God said those things. God said, friend, to be in fellowship with Me. That means to spend time daily in prayer and in His Word. God said to tithe. Oh, I knew He was going to go there. Yeah. Because that's what the Bible says to do. And you know what I found is that if you don't do it, God will take it from you either way. Because it's His from the get-go. And God said to give to missions. So that others can go and preach the gospel. So that others can be saved and have victory in their life. God said to witness to others. God said to live a separated life. God said to serve Him. For it's give Him glory in His church. Seemed like we saw something like that in Ephesians. In chapter 3 and verse 21, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus." Folks, now listen, we could sit here all night. I mean, you understand, you spend a lifetime of ministry trying to show people what the Bible says and what we're supposed to do. And so we could spend all night talking about the things that God has said that we ought to do. But just in these few things, you'll find enough to keep you busy for a lifetime. Folks, I'm just telling you from personal experience, this works. I remember when I got saved and I was going on Sunday mornings and then I would go back on Sunday nights because I got saved. And so I would spend the day with Natalie's family. And so because you had to learn the Baptist way of going to Chinese buffet on Sunday afternoon. And then after Sunday night, we had Domino's pizza, and I got to where I could eat a thin crust pepperoni by myself. And if Natalie's dad was buying, I was all in. But then Wednesday night rolled around, and I was welding in Florida in the summer. And man, you come in on Wednesday night, you're tired, and your flesh is going, want to drive 25, 30 minutes all the way to the west side of Pensacola to go to church. But the Spirit was going, yeah, but you need it. And I had to decide, all right, I'm going to start going to church. I had to decide, I'm going to give tithe. I went through a missions conference. I had to decide if I'm going to give to missions. Then some things came up. They were going to go on outdoor knocking and witnessing, and I had to decide to go. And then there was a need for Sunday school teachers, and I had to decide if I was going to work with those teenagers. They don't even have any brains. And I chose to do those things. Did you know what I found out? God started working in my life and I started getting victory. See, listen to me. It's not like God was sitting around going, you know, now that you've been saved, here's a little something for you to do. Here's church. God wasn't sitting around. It says this. Jesus died for the church. He shed His blood for the church. He loves the church. Gave Himself for it. Folks, this is not an afterthought. This is not a, well, you know, if you need something to do kind of thing. What I'm trying to get across to you is this. This is not up for debate. This is not optional. This is, if you want to actually put on the breastplate of righteousness and begin to do right in your life and to have spiritual victory in your life, then you have to decide to submit your life unto God and begin to do the things that He's already said to do in His Word. And when you do, oh boy, it's amazing what God can do. It's amazing. But you know what's sad is, I know a lot of people that have sat in churches just like ours where the man of God got up and preached boldly and passionately, gave the Word of God and gave the truth and tried to love on people and encourage people to do what's right, and they knew what was right. They just never put it on. And guess what? They're no longer in church and they're no longer serving the Lord and they're miserable. They're just absolutely miserable. Because you can't be, listen, you can't be a child of God and out in that world out there and have joy of the Lord in your life. It's just not going to work. It's defeat. It's despair. It's discouragement. It's a mess. Let me give you the last thing and I'll finish up. Because what I would say to you is this, and it kind of leads into that thought. The resistance for the breastplate of righteousness. You know, many an officer and soldier have been saved by having on their bulletproof vest, but I think we could also say this, that at the same time, many have died for the simple fact that they just refused to put it on. And this is what's amazing. Now watch this. They resisted the authorities that told them to put it on, but they also rejected the multitude of examples around them where they wore the vest and it worked. Did you catch that? And then they go out into battle without their bulletproof vest and they become a casualty of war. And what I want to say to you tonight is this, such is the case for a lot of God's people. And many come into church and profess Christ as their Savior. But what I have found is this, is that they will not fully submit themselves to God and following Him according to His Word. They resist making Him and His Word the authority in their life. And at the same time, they are watching countless numbers of examples around them in the pews who have surrendered to do what God has said, and they're enjoying victory in their life. But they've said, I'm going to do it my way. And the next thing you know, they're a casualty of spiritual warfare. And I realize tonight, look, as you begin to kind of think about things like that, I realize there's a host, a plethora of reasons why people go, you know, I'm not going to put on this breastplate of righteousness. But I really think when you think about it, it kind of begins to fall down to just really two simple things. The first one would just simply be this: rebellion. Outright refusal to do so. I want you to take your Bibles and you can leave Ephesians chapter 6 and go with me to 1 Kings chapter number 22. In 1 Kings in chapter number 22, and the Bible says this in verse number 1, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses thy horses. And I want to say to King Jehoshaphat, what in the world are you talking about, man? That is King Ahab he's talking to. You are not as me, and your people are not as my people. But that's what he answered. And then in verse 5, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, and about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, and shall I forbear, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And let me just stop here to point out and to say, if you'll notice, there's a difference between capital L, little O, little R, little D. And then in verse 7, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah. Because one's talking about Baal and one's talking about Jehovah, God of Israel. Everybody catching that? Look at verse number 8. And the king of Israel, this is Ahab, said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. In the Hebrew, that means he preaches too long and loud. Notice, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He's one of them negative preachers. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. So this is Ahab, the king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. Again, making an alliance. For the life of me, I have no idea, but that's another message. However, before the battle, Ahab has his prophets of Baal come in. They prophesy how the war will go. They tell the king what he wants to hear. But Jehoshaphat was a godly king and wanted to hear from the prophet, a prophet of Jehovah God. And so again, notice that response of Ahab. He hated Micaiah because Micaiah would not tell the king what he wanted to hear. He gave him the truth of God's Word. And in the story, what happens is they do eventually bring Micaiah in. He tells the king, you're not going to have victory. But or they actually tell Micaiah, they say, tell the king, you're going to have victory. But Micaiah says, I'm going to tell the king what God said to tell me. That's a man of God. And by the way, he goes in and he tells the king, you're going to die when you go into battle. And Ahab gets mad about it. See, I knew he was going to tell me what I didn't want to hear. But he told him the truth. And you go over to chat, look at verse number 34 and what happens. And let's pick up here. It says this, and a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And you can keep going down there and continue reading it. But here's the idea. A random arrow is shot and hits Ahab between the joints of his breastplate and armor, and he dies. Listen to me. Exactly like the Word of God said. What I'm trying to get you to see tonight is that this gives us a picture of what happens to people spiritually in the New Testament. When we reject the Word of God and we do things our way, please listen to this tonight, it never ends up good. It never does. This is what you see as, well, yeah, I know preacher, but I'm still going to. You're not the exception to the rule. And I'm not either. I'm just telling you. It's never going to end up good. And here's the other reason why. If it's not outright rebellion, this is what I'm afraid of in our day and time, is that it's complacency. It's just outright laziness. We know what's right, preacher, but we're tired. Everybody's tired. The world was built by tired people. Suck it up. And do what's right. Because if you're not, you're vulnerable. There was a time when kings went into battle, but one of them didn't. David. And the moment that he let his breastplate of armor sit on the hanger there, the devil was drawn back and said, "Here's Bathsheba, I got something for you, big boy." And he spent the rest of his life paying for it. The one time where he knew what he was supposed to do as king, and he just went, "You know, I'm tired. I'm just going to hang it up over here." And the devil took full advantage. And I'm just telling you, folks, it can so quickly happen that way for you and for me. We got to realize tonight, our adversary is not playing games. This is not a playground. This is a battlefield. And you have got to be ready at all times. Because if you, listen, how do you do that? By striving to do right all the time. You wake up in the morning, your flesh is going to go, "Man, do right, because he's coming." You get to Friday night, just finished the work week, the youth rally, "I don't want to go. I'd be here." You'll miss a blessing. Sunday's going to come. "Man, we just had that hour change. My body's not." "I'd do right." I'm just telling you, listen, I could sit here and run down the scenario, but I'm just saying, I know how my flesh is and I know how easy it is to be complacent. But the moment you're complacent, I'm telling you, he's shooting darts. And they're coming for you. Look, you think about complacency and rebellion. I realize, well, there's probably a whole lot of reasons we could look at tonight, but I think those are probably two of the biggest ones. But let me just say this. Here's the bottom line. It is utterly foolish for us tonight to know what is right but not do it and put it on. And therefore, we need to put it on. Preacher, how do I do that? By submitting my life and saying, "God, it's your word and you know how to make it work. I just want to follow you tonight." Let's all stand.